Lord, as we come now to this time and we continue to look at what your plan is for our lives, help us to do this in a worshipful way, to seek you, to yearn for you, to reach for you, to accept you, to respond to you. God, take this time. Use it. Use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever feel like your life is a mess? Wish you could have a do-over or start with a clean slate? Maybe you feel like you're stuck in that movie Groundhog Day where you're just doing the same thing over and over again with no real purpose in life. I can't take away all your bills, mend your relationships, cure your headaches and pains, or even snap you out of a rerun of Groundhog Day. But I know that through Christ, you can experience a spiritual renewal, which will enable you to see and embrace your life from a new perspective. We're in the second of a 7-week series on what we're calling God's plan for you. Last week, we looked at what it meant to connect with God. Not just how to know God, not just to be able to quote Bible stories about God and Jesus, but to walk in daily relationship with your Savior. Not just hearing about God's stories of peace, hope, love, and joy, but becoming a part of that real life story of who Jesus is. Today, I want us to consider how this relationship can and does provide us with renewed perspective, renewed strength, and a new life. I want you to reflect back on how you entered the sanctuary this morning. What was on your mind? Were you distracted by events of the past week? Were you focused on what you'll be facing in the coming week, wondering how you were going to fix it? Sure, you greeted people with a smile on your face, a firm handshake, or a hug. But what was going on inside of you? How are you approaching God this morning? Let's try it this way. Which of these statements come closest to where you might be this morning? Oh, hey God, we're back here again. I had a good week. How about you? Oh, wait, I need to speak to Jim. Or, God, yeah, I know you saw me mess up a few times this week. I'm sorry, God. I'll do better. Let's just sing a song now. Or, God, it's been a horrible week. You know it. I needed to come to church today so you could fix everything and I can get back on with my life. Can we make it happen pretty quickly? Or, God, thank you for the big and little ways you cared for me this week, God. I know you're aware of the challenges I have in my life right now, God, but I want them to not be what consumes me. I want you to be the most important thing in my life, God. Will you help me to see the challenges and opportunities of the coming week the way you want me to see them? God, what I really want is to celebrate who you are in my life. God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to make you happy. You see the difference in the way we approach God? It's about not about what God can do for us, as much as it is us seeking to be the best we can be for God. And I promise you, when that happens, it puts us in a position for God to be able to bless us so much more. As we approach God, we need to do something. And this is hard for a few of us. Actually, this is hard for most of us. It's difficult for your pastor. We need to give up control. not just go through the motions, not just make some half-hearted promises that we'll do better again, and not that we'll pick up and choose to that, and not that we'll pick and choose to give God the things in our life that need to be fixed while trying to control everything else for ourselves. Let's look at the scripture again in this context. If you want to turn in your Bibles again, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But hear what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 1 in this passage tells us what true and proper worship is. We're to come before God, offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. What does that mean to you? What does it look like for you to present your body as a living, holy sacrifice, pleasing to God? That's what Scripture says we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to worship. Did you come here to worship today? By the way, how many of you think the only time we can or should worship God is in this room on a Sunday morning? Not what worship is about. We're to worship God every day. We have good, practical reason to worship God every day. Let's consider Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. This is what it says. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. God imparts His mercy, His loving mercy, on us every morning. But let's think about it. Why does Scripture say He does this every morning? He's God. Can't He bestow whatever mercy we need for more than just a 24-hour period? No, He can't, because God does not work that way. We are not God's project. God does not fulfill His duty to us and then leave us to go take care of another thing. God walks with us through every day for the entire day. He knows what we need and He knows when we need it. And He will always give it to us if we stay connected and open to Him. But again, that means we must be willing to give up control. God will not wrestle a struggle, a situation, or a hardship away from us, but He is there patiently waiting for us to give it to Him. I already know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Greg, I've tried this and nothing changed. I believe at times we're expecting the wrong kind of change. We're saying we're giving up control. We're giving it to God, but in our minds, we still have our own expectations of how God can and should resolve the situation we've placed in His hands. And when we've given God what we think is ample time and not received the results we want, we take it back from God. When we do this, we've never given up control in the first place. Giving up control to God involves a different level of trust from simply expecting Him to fix our problem. When we really give up control to God, acknowledging Him as our all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful Savior, we allow God's will to become our. Have you ever prayed or heard someone else pray, God's will be done? This should be the essence of such a prayer. It's not that we're giving God permission to do His will. That sounds ludicrous, right? So that's not what it is. He is God. We're saying that we desire God to move in us in such a way that His will becomes our will. All this may sound a little complicated, but it's really not. Most of us already know where to start. I say this quite often, God does not play games with us. Understanding what it means to live as a Christian is not intended to be a guessing game. The Bible, this book, is not simply an accessory that the more devout Christians carry around with them. Anyone who really wants to know God's plan for their life, and I'm assuming most of us agree that we do want to know God's plan for our life, but anyone who really wants to know that will spend time in the Scriptures. You don't have to start out by committing to read the entire book, 12 chapters a day, cover to cover. Simply make Scripture a part of your relationship with God. I know this is a struggle for some people because I talk to you about it. You want Scripture to be a part of your life, but because of your reading isn't your thing, or because of different schedules, whatever it may be, you struggle. So I want to give you a few examples, some ideas, and these are just thoughts of ways to get started. It could go on and on and on, but consider this. Take time to go back and read and reread the two verses from today, asking God to speak to you through them. It can be that simple. That it doesn't have to be that you start in Genesis and read through. Scripture is real. Scripture is the living Word of God. And so if God's speaking to you today and you want to know more and you want more out of that, take your Bible and sit down with it and read and reread that Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that Scripture, and He will. Another idea. Read one proverb a day. You might know Proverbs has 31 chapters. This is something I've said before too. Proverbs is, it's a book of wisdom. Today's March 3rd, right? So if you were going to try to do this type of thing, you would look at Proverbs chapter 3 and read it today. And you don't just read it to say you've read Scripture. You ask God to speak to you, and then tomorrow you read Proverbs 4. If you miss a few days and it gets to be March the 23rd, read Proverbs 23. And then you know what? When it gets to April, you can start over and do the same thing again. The Bible never gets old. And there's always some way God desires to speak to us, because what you're doing on April the 23rd is probably going to be different than what you were doing on March the 23rd. So the Holy Spirit that is a part of that living Scripture speaks to you in a different but just as real and powerful way. The words of Scripture don't change, but what God knows you need changes, and He gives it to you. Now, I'm not saying that's all we need to do. We need to read the entire Bible, but if you're struggling, that's a good way to start. Another one would be to sign up for a daily devotion through an app on your phone for the techies that are in here. But don't just read the devotion that pops through on your phone. Open your Bible. Read the Scripture that goes along with the devotion. But don't just read those one or two verses. Look at the verses that are before it. Look at the verses that are after it. Consider the context of what's being said and allow God to speak to you in an even more full way than what the human being that wrote that devotion did. That devotion can be a tool that God uses. But if you might remember from school, there's a difference in secondary and primary sources. Primary sources are part of the original. Secondary is what an account somebody else gave about it. We have access to the primary source, and that's Scripture. And so, yes, there are times the secondary sources can help us and lead us in a good direction, and God can use that. But do not forsake the reading of the Bible itself. Scripture is intended in no way to be a burden. It is a valuable gift given to us by God Himself that directs us clearly towards the plans He has for our life. Here's one of the reasons Scripture is not boring or irrelevant. Besides being the living Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, the Scripture we read and pray over will intersect with your everyday life in a profound way. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Scripture you read will be connected to the life that you're living. I'm going to ask for people to simply raise their hands as a form of testimony if you've ever experienced this. You know, I haven't given it to you yet. You already know where I'm going with it, though. But what I'm talking about is that you read a scripture at the beginning of the day, and somewhere along that day, during that day, it becomes obvious that God connects that scripture, that thing you read, that thing you prayed about, that thing you were challenged with, the scripture that raised questions, it came about later in that day, and you saw an undeniable connection. If that's ever happened, raise your hand. Yes. That's how scripture works. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's why scripture is not boring. It is relevant to the life that you're living today. It's not a historical document where you simply read and you learn more about the person you're supposed to live because it's what somebody said long ago. It's relevant to what God knows is going to happen in your life today before it ever happens. That's why it is so real. The scripture not only provides insight and wisdom to think and act the way we should. It is relevant. God will speak to you through not only the scriptures, but through your daily situations. So I want you to understand and know, as we've talked about today, what it means to experience renewal. That it's not that difficult. You've got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, take the one that's in the pew in front of you. I don't care. Take it home. We got some more we can put back there. You need to read Scripture. And you don't have to read a lot. And a lot of people they think the more they read, the happier God is. God wants us to spend time in His Word, but a lot of times we just need to focus on one or two verses to really understand what God's saying. It's the quality, not the quantity, most of the time, and paying attention to what God's saying to us. So, do you really want to know God's plan for you? If you do, it's going to mean giving up control. And we talked some today about what that involves. I want to talk a little bit in a different direction now. We're talking about God's plan for you, and we have 5 more weeks that I'm going to be looking in Scripture, and we're going to be saying, okay, what is it if we really want to know God's plan for us? What does Scripture say about how we can do this? And there's exciting things there, things that will be applicable, things that hopefully your life will be, our spiritual life will be able to take us in other directions because of understanding the Scripture. But in the midst of this, it's important to me that we not only do that, but we begin intentionally looking at God's plan for us right now. And so there are a couple of things I want to share with you about that. One of the things I've been praying over, there are multiple people, families, in our church and in our community who are facing a struggle right now. And their struggle is that they're having to take care of other family members who have some type of chronic or long-term illness. A lot of times people mention dementia going along with this, but it's not just with dementia. It can be diabetes. It can be a plethora of different things. People usually nowadays are thinking and talk about parents, but it may not be parents. You may have a child. And so there's struggles. And so when you talk about wanting to know God's plan for you, sometimes it will be easy to go to the place that says, I don't have time for God's plan for me because I'm so consumed with what's happening and what's going on and trying to figure out what's right in the midst of this right now. But you know what? God has a plan for you in the midst of that. It's not that you have to finish that to go find God's plan. God has a plan for you where you are right now. And so one of the things I want to share, this came across my computer a week or two ago. It's called a community open house for caregivers at Jefferson School City Center. It's on Wednesday, March 27th. I'm going to put this up on the board after the service today. It's entitled, What Do I Do Now? Navigating the Challenges of Caring for a Loved One with Serious Illness. It's not a Christian thing. It's sponsored by University of Virginia School of Nursing. I don't really know a lot about what it is, except the format is they have an open house. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 that you can come and go and find out about community resources that are available for an array of different caregivers for different situations. And from 6:30 to 7:30, there's a formal panel presentation in the auditorium where I assume that questions are going to be asked and answered. It may very well be, and I'm not telling you to go to this, but this is an opportunity. If God would lead you to do this, this may be a way of saying, maybe there's some things that God wants to reveal to me, and it doesn't always have to be in a worship service on Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, what I do want you to understand, whether you go to something like this or not, if you're one that's in the midst of a challenge of taking care of a loved one, I want you to know that God is with you. And there is a plan in the midst of that, and it can be God. It is God's plan, but are you willing to embrace that? And it's not just a matter of asking God to help you take care of what you think you need to do, but to understand the bigger picture of what God's big plan might be. And there are several of you families in here who are dealing with that. And there are many others of you who know people who are dealing with that. Pray for them. Be willing to reach out and help them in whatever way God may lead you in doing that. It's a difficult time. And I'm going to tell you this about it before I share one last thing. I know a little bit about it, not because I was one of those caregivers, but because my mom was. When I was in college, my grandmother had to have 24-hour care. She had to be bathed. She had to be fed. All this had to be done. And the grandmother that I knew no longer was there. And it was a battle. It was a horrible battle for my mom to try to do that. And you know what I did when I was in college? I found reasons not to come home because I didn't want to be in the midst of what was going on. It's a strain and a struggle even for Christian families. And so we need to have God in the middle of it. We can't do it ourselves. And the number of times that we think we can do it and then we ask questions again and again if we're doing the right thing. God doesn't want us to live there. God wants us to take one step in the direction we feel God leading us to go and then trust Him to take another step and not go back and look and see if I messed up or not, because you know what? God wants us to continue going, and if we're supposed to come back there, He will lead us back to that place by moving forward, not by moving back. And by the time we get back to that place, we will understand things completely differently. That's one of the practical applications of knowing what God's plan is. You don't have to wait till you have everything together in your life to figure out what God's plan is for you. One more thing. We had youth last night. We have youth, our youth group here at Woodland meets pretty much every Saturday night at 6 o'clock. For several weeks now, we've been having someone come in and share a testimony. And up until last night, every Saturday night, there was an adult who would come and share their testimony and enable the youth to see what that was like, to understand what life is like before you become a Christian, how you become a Christian, and what life is like since you become a Christian. Well, last night was the first night we had one of the youth to share their testimony. And we had tried to prepare them for that, giving them steps for it. And so they were talking, they did a really good job with the testimony, and then they got to one part of the testimony, and as far as how his life changed since you became a Christian, and they said, well, it changed with my friends. You know, I really felt God leading me in my relationship with my friends, and there were friends God led me to that I knew the reason I was with those friends were because they were going to help me understand more who God wanted me to be. They were going to help me grow, be more the person that God wanted me to be. And there were other friends God led me to as well. And as I was a part of that, it was very obvious to me that God had built that relationship, that friendship, because He wanted me to be able to help them understand who God was in my life. That person that shared the testimony is my 13-year-old son, Caleb. what he said, let me say this differently, it didn't surprise me that he was there. Caleb is a fine Christian man. God is real in his life, and I'm proud of it. And I had seen the exact same thing he just said, but for him to put into words that God himself guides my friendships, God helps me to understand my friendships and know the purpose of those friendships. I can't ask for anything much more for my son than what he's already got. I desire that for every one of us. That in our relationships, in our day-to-day life, we recognize where God is at work and what God is doing. It doesn't mean we don't mess up. It doesn't mean we always get it right. But if we know God is with us and God is leading and guiding us, by golly, it changes the way we live. It changes the hope we have. It changes the peace we experience. It changes the love that's inside of us that we're able to share with other people. It helps us to know what God's plan is for our life. Do you want to know it? Are you willing to give up control? It's worth it. I'll ask our musicians to come. And as they do, I invite you to respond. As always, our altar is open. I stand here. I'm willing to pray with you. As you think about, as you pray about God's plan for you, know that it's real. You have some inkling of it already. I told you, God's not playing games. He's already been at work. There are things you've probably read and been exposed to in Scripture that you know tug at you. There are things in your life situation that you know are going on that God is either a part of or you know He wants to be more a part of than He is. And you know, each and every one of us, myself included, have had time that we've said we were going to give up control, and we did that thing of giving God control until He didn't do it the way we wanted Him to, so we took it back. Wherever you are in seeking to understand what God's plan is for you, don't just leave here today and hear a few words. Take at least one step in the direction God is leading you to take today. Make that commitment right now, whether you come and do it with me, whether you pray at the altar, whether you do it at your seat, whether you have a conversation with somebody else, but take it seriously. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 305, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.